Andrew McGarry.
Yay. Would you take your Bibles and let's go to Jeremiah 29. I want to talk about increase. Themes of increase, God's desire for increase in our lives, the truth of the increase that we've already been kind of invited into through God, and just want to touch on this. And in order to do that, let's start here at Jeremiah 29. And verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." In the ESV, it says there, the expected end says to give you a hope and a future. Actually, that actually might be the New King James Version rather than the ESV.
The ESV says future and hope.
Good. Awesome. That was right. Original. That's good. That's always good. All right. But this is cool because God, I always love the irony of God stating what that he knows what he thinks, right? Right? I know the thoughts that I have toward you. He says, right? It's like, okay, you might not know these thoughts, but let me usher confidence into you listening to me. I know what I think. And the thoughts that I think towards you are thoughts of good, thoughts not to harm you, to give you an expected end, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. Jesus Christ said in the Gospels, you know, if you continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you what? Free. So the degree of truth that we understand is to the degree of freedom that we experience in our lives. If you're walking in the truth that God has set forth in the word, and you're applying that truth, and you're putting that on your heart and in your mind, you're going to walk in great freedom. You're going to walk in great liberty. And so we're going to talk about walking in that great liberty, and in one of those things, prosperity, directly, John 10:10. Now, the prosperity doctrine gets a lot of flack, and for good reason, because people often talk about it from a self-indulgent perspective. But just because it's got bad press, don't think that it's not biblical. There is a biblical place for prosperity in the believer's life. In fact, the Old Testament word for prosperity is this Hebrew word called tov, but it's also the word good. When God said in the beginning there was light and he saw that it was good, that's the word prosperous. It's the word tov. So he saw that it was good. He made it prosperous. He made it to flourish and to increase. So let's see what Jesus Christ's purpose was in all this, all right? So John 10:10. The thief comes not but for to do what? Steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. It is one of the ploys of the enemy and of the carnal flesh to try and poster on God the characteristics of his enemy. Mm-hmm. And so people think that God is the one who comes and kills and steals and destroys. That's the whole idea of you need another angel in the choir. That's why you took your grandma or whatever. And that's the whole idea of when you see big natural disasters, what do they call them in the media? Acts of God, right? This is the trying to poster. But God says, I've sent my son, and Jesus Christ has a purpose. And what is his purpose? I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And so what I'm thinking about when I think about these things is, okay, what does this mean, Father? Because this is that word Zoe, right? Life in all of its manifestations. So if you're talking about abundance in life and life in all of its manifestations, what does this look like biblically? And what is this, what are you trying to invite us into through your son, Jesus Christ? And so today's teaching is a little bit of the ushering into that. And so let's start off in Colossians chapter 1. And I'll be asking for readers. And who would like to read verses 5 and 6?
Cool.
Go ahead, Cassie.
All right. Because of the hope laid... It's chapter 1, right?
Yeah.
Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it is also as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood this, the grace of God in truth.
Now this is awesome, awesome. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, where have you heard before the word of truth of the gospel? So what happens where the gospel goes, where it's spoken of in truth? Verse 6, when it comes to you as it is in all the world, it brings forth fruit. It brings forth increase when you hear the gospel spoken. When you hear the gospel preached, what it ought to do is bring forth increase. It should bring forth fruit in your life. As it doth also in you when? Since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. So the gospel is the grace of God in truth. And when we hear it, mixed with believing, you all know that verse in Hebrews, right? Mixed with believing, it produces increase. Now fruit is interesting because fruit has a purpose. Fruit has a purpose to nourish people who are hungry. And so there are those who are spiritually hungry and destitute out there. And so fruit is a way to give them nourishment. The great thing about fruit, too, is within it is already contained increase. And we call those seeds. That's why when you produce fruit in a metaphorical sense, we're using symbolism here, right? You produce spiritual fruit in your life, and it's inspiring to other people, right? And that's a purpose of producing spiritual fruit, is that so people, when they see that, it has the possibility of landing a seed in their heart that can root, and then maybe they become people who produce spiritual fruit too, right? And so there's this concept of increase. Now even when God created the heavens and the earth, he created the seed of the field, he created the animals after their own kind, fowls of the air, and even the seed of the field, everything is produced to multiply. And so even in God in the Old Testament, what did he tell them? Go forth and what? Multiply. This idea of him being able to grow. This concept and precept of multiplication within the realms of godliness, holiness, and goodness, right? And so when we hear the word, when we hear the gospel, increase happens in our life. And what I want to do is I want to talk about prosperity, but not in the way that you think. Not in the way of, because usually people, what do they think when they hear prosperity?
Money.
That's what they think, right? That's what they think. And that is, they're embedded in prosperity is that concept. But I don't want you to get bogged down looking at that only. I want you to see what real prosperity is, and then we're going to address that, okay? And so let's continue to walk. Why don't we go to Psalm 67. Psalm 67. Would somebody like to read verses 5 through 6?
I will.
Go ahead.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us.
Awesome. Does anybody have the King James Version of that? Can they read that, please? Go ahead.
Suzanne.
Sorry.
Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us.
Awesome. So let the people praise thee, O God. Let the people praise thee. A recognition of genuine thanks from the heart toward God, right? Do that, then the earth shall yield her increase. Now you got to remember, in the Old Testament, these people, the fat of the land made or break everybody, right? It was economy. It wasn't just food. It was economy. It was supplies. It was the sense of security. It was all of these things was produce. We've disconnected ourselves a little bit from the intensity and the familiarity that they would feel with these type of sections because we got Safeway and stuff like that, right? But to them, it was everything, right? And God is the God of the harvest. He's the Lord of the harvest. And he says here, praise God, and the earth shall yield her increase for you, which meant a lot to these people, more than just economy, more than just money, all right? So there's other things involved there. But it says, then shall the earth yield her increase. So what are one of the ways that we can kind of release this increase in our lives? Oh, that's great. Praise God. Hallelujah. God, you're great. You're awesome. You're wonderful. You've taken care of us. Look at all the great things that you've done for us. And you will continue to do. Because you know what you think about us. You know the thoughts that you have toward us. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give me a hope and a future and an expected end in you. And I rejoice in that because you say that. And not that I'm trying to get something for you for my selfish indulgence, just because I want to walk in the best that you have made available to me. And if truth sets me free, these are truths that I have to put on. Right? So praise is one thing that releases this. Let's see another thing. Let's go to Psalm 115. I love the statutes and the principles in God's word, because in one characteristic, they are techniques. But if your heart isn't truly genuine in them, it just kind of disqualifies the whole thing. So if you look at praise as just a technique, you're like, oh, praise God, that's not genuine. It's not real praise, right? Where's that verse in Psalm? It says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart, right? And the way that a lot of people hear that voice is, delight thyself in the Lord to get the desires of your heart. It doesn't say that, right? It doesn't say that. It's not a technique that you employ. It's a relationship and a genuine recognition of your heart that you go, oh, praise you, God. You're awesome. Thank you, right? So Psalm 115, let's see, verse 13. And who would like to read that? Go ahead, Ed. 13 through 15, please.
He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth.
Awesome. So this idea, this concept of increase again comes up. God is going to bless you. He's going to increase you. This is his idea. This is not mine. He sent his own son that you might have life and have it more abundant. He's going to bless you. When you praise him, he yields the increase of the earth. He will bless them that what? Fear the Lord. So another way that we kind of release this idea of increase in our lives in a spiritual and a physical manner is to respect God. Right? One is to praise God. The other is to reverently respect him. And that implies things like obedience, like reverential awe with humility before him, walking in his ways. This is how we show that, yes, Father, I respect and I love and I reverence you. And when we do that, he will bless them that do that, both small and great. He looks out for the little guy too, right? The Lord will increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Praise God. That's something to rejoice about, huh? That's something that you are blessed by the same God who created the heavens and the earth. Now, praise releases increase, as does reverencing God. I love it. And all of this is just kind of like the front porch of this idea of coming into. Because the questions I was asking myself in reference to this teaching is, what does it mean to be born again? And what does prosperity have to do with that? All right? So let's unpack this. Acts 26. Now, this is Paul before King Agrippa, and he's recalling to King Agrippa when Jesus Christ appeared to him. Okay, so that's the setting. In Acts 26, verse 18, it says, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. This was what Jesus Christ was telling Paul, what he was commissioning Paul with his gospel message. And the purpose of that gospel message, it was to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Can somebody read that in the ESV, Sherry, please?
Yes. I'm sorry, what verse was it?
18 in Acts 26.
To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me.
Awesome. Okay, so to open their eyes, right? So Jesus Christ is here to open their eyes, both in a physical sense and a spiritual sense, because it says to turn them from darkness to what?
Light.
To light. Mm. That's prosperity. Mm-hmm. That's huge prosperity. Mm-hmm. To go from blind to seeing spiritually. Talk about prosperity. To be taken from darkness into light. What an increase. You went from zero to hero, right? In other words, if this gospel be not preached to you, if you believe it not, in other words, your eyes are closed to the things of God, to the kingdom, to his principles, his designs, to his intents, to his truth, to his heart, to the thoughts that he knows he thinks about you. And then in that sense, you are walking in spiritual lack, in spiritual poverty. But if your eyes get open, you immediately get moved from poverty into prosperity in a spiritual sense, and what you're able to see and what you're able to manifest, because now in seeing, you can do, and now it's made available to you, that's prosperity. It's great prosperity. Great prosperity in a very, very real sense. And you've been delivered from the power of Satan unto God. Talk about increase, right? I mean, let's be honest. Talk about, hey, this is good. This is prosperous. This is increasing. And now that when you think of the corruption that is in the world, when you think of the spirit that is in the world, we know verses like, for I have not been given the spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind, right? Power. Of power, power, love, power, and a sound mind. Thank you, guys. You're on it. But of love, power, and a sound mind. Now, the spirit of fear comes from the God of this world who has blinded the minds of them who believe not. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And so there is a spirit of fear in this world that wants to get you blind and get you afraid. Kind of sounds a lot like a thief that comes not but to kill, steal, and destroy, right? Jesus Christ has come to do exactly the opposite of that. Now, when you think of the corruption that's in the world, the hurt, the depression, the prince of power of the air, the rulers of darkness, all of that speaks to the sense of lack. All that speaks to the sense of loss. All of that speaks to the sense of hurt, of pain, of killing, destruction, and thievery, right? But Paul here is saying that he has been commissioned to preach the gospel concerning Jesus Christ that will open eyes, turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. Prosperity. Man, that's great prosperity. Man, that is great truth. Man, that's something to praise God about. Mm-hmm. In other words, when we get born again, we are moving from death to life, from poverty, in a very real sense, to prosperity. So if you don't believe in the doctrine of prosperity, you need to throw away your Bible. Because you've been moved from death to life, and you cannot be more prosperous than that. Okay? There's no greater prosperity than that. Money is a side thing, man. But moving from death to life, from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, wow! What increase! All because the gospel was preached, and this was exactly Jesus Christ's purpose when he called Paul to commission it. That's exactly Jesus Christ's purpose when he's called us to commission it, and that's one of the truths and one of the thoughts that God knows he thinks about. So let's continue. So as God is like revealing these things to me, I'm thinking, yeah, I can handle this because I've been walking in a certain level of increase by God through his grace. And so these are things that are encouraging, that are edifying to me in order to kind of pursue further. But let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 to get a little further clarification and confirmation on this. And Joey, can you read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 through 12?
As it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, and we might know the things which are freely given to us of God.
Awesome, awesome. So there's a spirit of the world, but that's not the one that we've received from God, obviously, right? And this spirit that we've received from God is given to us so that we might freely know, that might freely be revealed to us, the great things that he has prepared for us, right? And so real prosperity starts at the moment of getting born again. That's where real prosperity starts. That is the epitome of prosperity, moving from death to life. It is a great thing. And prosperity is God's idea. It's a spiritual reality, and it begins at the moment of the new birth because you get that spirit from God. It's an amazing thing. With that spirit comes a whole bunch of things, an inheritance, eternal life, you know. It's kind of, you know, these small things that we often overlook. But let's continue to see. Now, by unpacking this, there's that verse in 3 John 2, right? Beloved, I wish you might prosper and be in health even as thy soul prospers, right? And so, obviously, there you have different types of prosperity. You have prosper, be in good health, even as thy soul prospers. Now, I think of, what does the soul mean in the Bible, right? Well, the Hebrew word for soul is the word nefesh, and it has a huge varying assortment of meanings. It could mean your imaginations, your convictions. It could mean your mind. It could mean your heart. It could mean your appetite. It could mean the seat of your emotions. All of this is all kind of encapsulated in this Hebrew word nefesh, which is the word soul. And it's rendered all over the Bible as mind, heart, and soul. So really what it's talking about is like just the entire package of existence for a person, right? It means heartful prosperity as well as mindful prosperity. And so trying to break these down into subcategories so that we can kind of understand, and possibly the layman too, I just want to take these things kind of in a categorical fashion. And first is mental prosperity. Well, what does mental prosperity mean? Romans 12. And who would like to read Romans 12, verse 2?
I can.
Oh, yeah. You'll go next.
Okay.
Good, Mike.
Do not be conformed to this world.
Yeah.
The ESV has.
That's all?
That's it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they took it out.
They took the rest out?
Yeah.
Wow.
What I've been saying all along.
Really?
Yeah, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing, I mean, that's the
well,
seven.
Well, that mind goes into seven.
But it's two. No, there's no way it jumps from two to seven.
Wow.
Numbers, man, you gotta learn to count.
Count. Okay, they got numbers as verse
seven
markers
as
footnotes. And they're both tight. Okay, sorry. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
Awesome. Good. I was thinking, man, I read metamorpho in a Greek text. I know it's there. Okay, so what are we talking about here? We're talking about mental prosperity in a certain sense, right? Okay? Because your mind is really the control center of your life. And so what does mental prosperity look like? It looks like the transforming of your mind in accordance to the scripture. It's continuing in his word that you might be his disciples and that you might know the truth, and the truth shall make you what?
Free.
And so this idea of conforming yourself or transforming yourself to the renewing of your mind, the greatest byproduct of this is that you get to prove and know what is God's will. Now, knowing God's will for your life, both in a general fashion with the Bible and in a personal fashion as a relationship with God, that's prosperity. To understand what that is, you know how many people go walk out in the world and don't know if they're doing God's will, right? And really want to. But renewing the mind, man, this is one way that we usher into this type of increase. So there's mental prosperity. And remember, be not conformed to this world. What's the world about? We're already seeing that it's about lack. It's about thievery, death, destruction. It's about the spirit of fear, but you haven't received the spirit of this world. You receive the spirit of God, so you might know these things. And so so being renewed in our mind, man, that is a mentally prosperous mind. That is a mind that is prosperous in the sense, and I really am attempting to get your definition of prosperity away from just finances and put it to its biblical connotation, that it's increased in a holy and a good way, and that it's God's idea, right? And so we're talking about mental prosperity. Now, being transformed by the renewing of your mind, mental prosperity, when your mind gets renewed to the will of God, your mind becomes prosperous where before it was darkened. There's verses all about how the counsel of the world darkens the mind. it is now functioning in accordance with what God wants. It's functioning in accordance with what God's precepts and statutes are for you to expect. It's functioning in accordance to the realities of Jesus Christ's accomplished work, and therefore is bringing you to a place of great intimacy, but a place of great mental prosperity, where your mind is renewed, the epicenter of your life, and then your decisions from that become prosperous thinking, becomes healthy, sound thinking, becomes things of God's goodness, and these things have a way of working on your heart, right? Philippians 4:8 is another way to be mentally prosperous, right? What does it say there? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, you don't need to turn there, I'll just read it to you. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. Man, the mind that thinks on these things in accordance with God's word, this is a good mind. This is a strong, solid, fortified, prosperous mind of God in a believer. This is a great thing for a believer. Now, this is a good mind. Now, let's go to Galatians chapter 5. And I'm going to read verses 22 and 23. It's the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And in this category, the fruit of the Spirit, you ever heard gifts are given, fruit is developed? Like you've been given the gift of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit are things that you developed as you employ them. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, I think you have many ways to kind of cultivate these things in your life, in your personal life. But one of the biggest ways you're going to cultivate them is in your relationships. Because they're going to place the ground for you to be able to employ these things. Temperance, meekness, love, joy, peace. These are going to, the relationships are going to be your gamut, pretty much. It's going to be the proving ground for you to be able to employ these things. Now, what does relational and emotional prosperity look like? Looks like the fruit of the Spirit. Looks like joy and peace and long-suffering and temperance and meekness and patience being cultivated in your life. And you can recognize emotional prosperity, and I'm giving them these taglines, right? Emotional prosperity with people who live joyful lives in Christ, peaceful lives, who are temperate, who are self-controlled, but who are just a joy and a blessing to be around. You can also sense emotional poverty and relational poverty in broken relationships, infidelity, depression, relational indifference. People who just stop caring all of a sudden. What is that? That's poverty. That's lack. But when you are allowing God's word and the renewing of your mind and your ability to come to it and just praise God, to reverence God, to fear him, to work in your life, you start producing these fruits. These fruits go to the end of producing great relationships. These fruits go to the end of producing a healthy emotional life, right? Because some people think that a healthy emotional life is stoicism, like you don't feel anything anymore, right? Because you can't be controlled by your emotions, and that's true. You can't be controlled by your emotions. But you want your emotions and your emotional life to be subject by the Spirit of God and subject to the Scriptures. And when they are, God says, what's cultivated is joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, meekness, patience, these things which against there is no law. Now we're starting to paint a picture of a more abundant life here. Can you see that? This is an awesome thing. Mental prosperity, the transforming of your mind, emotional prosperity, joy, love, peace, long-suffering, meekness, temperance, relational prosperity, being able to cultivate that and develop that within your relationships. This is the type of life that God says, I have given you my thoughts, and my thoughts are this: hope, an expected end, and a future. Thoughts not of evil, not of harm, but of peace and goodness. This sounds like a great life, right? This sounds like an awesome thing. And we haven't even touched on finances, right? We haven't touched on finances. And so let's continue to go. Now, obviously, this is the easiest one. What's physical prosperity, right? This is probably the most easiest part, right? So let's go to 3 John. Actually, go to 1 Peter 2. All of you know 3 John by heart. Right? 3 John 2, beloved, I wish that you might prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Right? So this is God's will, that you might prosper, that you might be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Right? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Does anybody want to read this? Go ahead, Kristen.
He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed.
Awesome. Right, so we've been healed by Jesus Christ's wounds. And the idea is to understand that truth and then walk in the manifestation of it. Walk in just the good health. God wants good health for his kids. No good parent wants their kids to be sickly and walking around and having to deal with medical issues. God's idea is health, peace, prosperity, emotionally, relationally, mentally, physically. All manifestations of life. Life more abundantly, that they might have life. Life more than abundant. God is just such a good God. He just wants this for all his kids. And this is his heart. I'm reading scriptures. I'm not throwing stuff out there. I'm reading his words. This is great. God is so good to us. Now, God sent his precious son to make available the abundant life for us. Now, it's up to us to decide to receive it and believe it and to take it up. Now, we must decide, I am going to walk in health. I am going to walk in mental prosperity. I am going to walk in emotional prosperity. I am going to walk in this because I am already spiritually prosperous, and that is bigger than all those other categories of life. I mean, my future is set. I am good. We're literally going to live forever. It's amazing. This is God's idea, God's way, his way of increase and abundance. Let's go to I'll put that on my other notebook. It's not good to scatter your notes across different pages. And I left it at home. Okay, go back to John 10. The last one, which I've removed from my notes, but it's societal prosperity. It's the idea of the influence that the individual and the church have on their community. Now, that's increase. Yeah, that's increase. That's prosperity. No passing notes in class, kids. But the influence that the body of Christ ought to have here. Because there is a God of this world, there is a spirit of this world, and you ought to look different. Now, if the spirit of this world is all about thievery, robbery, destruction, and killing, then it's easy to look different from that if you're a Christian. It ought to be. And what is that? That's societal prosperity. The effect that we can bring into our families. The effect that we can bring our families into the outer community. And that just comes from a place of praising God, reverencing him, and then renewing our minds to these concepts and these principles, right? If the truth is what's going to set us free, give us liberty, then the truth and the idea of the mental realm, mental prosperity, is going to give us freedom there. Then the truth of God's word within the emotional realm, what God puts there, is going to give us freedom there. And then the truth of God's word in the relational realm is going to give us freedom there. And if that's God's idea, those things put together will give you a societal influence. I mean, God is just really smart. That's really what I figured out all the time. He's just a genius. He's just really smart. Really freaking smart. And but the thing is, these are all things both for his glory, primarily, secondarily for you, for your benefit, because he loves you. Nobody wants to not be mentally prosperous, right? Nobody wants to not be emotionally, relationally prosperous. And God says, I know the thoughts I have toward you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. They give you an expected end. Wow, good stuff. Now, let's go to financial prosperity, Malachi chapter 3. verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You know, the reason why I left finances last is because there are a lot of people who have a lot of material wealth, but they are poor as hell. They are miserable. They are living in lack and poverty in a spiritual, relational, emotional, mental, and physical sense. That's why all these other things, when you start understanding God's principles of increase, understanding God's desire for his children, and you understand these things first, it places within you a constitution so the finances won't tear you up. The money is not gonna now become a burden, right? Because the love of money is the root of all evil, right? But God says in Proverbs, I maketh rich and add no sorrow to it, right? Mm-hmm. And so having these things, it's possible to be wealthy and miserable. I mean, there's huge examples of that everywhere. But the cool thing about the language in Malachi chapter 3 is that God is ushering a challenge. He says, prove me now herewith. The Hebrew word there is bakan. And that means to test me. Test me out. Now, usually God's, we're really used to God speaking in terms of thou shalt and thou shalt not, right? or just do this, don't do this, this will hurt you, this will do great for you, and then giving loving encouragement. But we're not really all that used to God saying, why don't you challenge me? Test me. See if I do this. This word prove is God ushering a challenge. It's amazing. Prove me now herewith. Test me, challenge me. The God of heaven and earth saying, you do this, I'll do this. And he's talking about abundant sharing. Now, the tithe is Old Testament, right? So, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, goes into how it's a giving and a recognition of your heart, the cheerful giving, right? He ministers seed to the sower. And that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, as far as all of you know, as we all know. But the idea of God saying, prove me now herewith, still stands. He's like, sow into me and watch it produce fruit in your life. Sow into me and the things of my kingdom, the things of my ways, sow into my word of your increase, right? Because he's talking about the first fruits of your increase. And prove me now. And then he blesses you. Well, it was that old saying, right? I'd rather have 90% with God's blessing than 100% without, right? It's like, I'd rather have 1% with God's blessing than 100% without, right? Because 1% with God's blessing taps you into the source of increase. The source of increase is not your paycheck. The source of increase is not your intellect or how good you are at your job. The source of increase is your Heavenly Father who gives every good gift and with who is no variableness of turning. That's the source. And from that source and from that principle, God has just laid all these things out. And so, really, that's kind of what I wanted to share today. I just wanted you to see the concept, but I also wanted you to see God's heart. That when he sent his son, it was to be able to make this available for us. And one thing that had been darkened counsel in my mind for myself is I thought I was only ever deserving of that which I worked for, even post-born again. Now, I compartmentalized eternity. I compartmentalized the future, eternal life. And I did that, and I said, oh, that's for the sweet by and by, right? And a lot of believers do. So, but while I'm here, I just got to make do with what I got. Whereas God is saying, man, I have such a higher vision for you. I have such a greater plan for you. And it's of peace. And it's not of harm. It's not of evil. I want to build your character to be able to abound you in every single way. So that you can then be an influence on anything that you're engaged in because of him. So God is good. Has this helped anybody? Everybody followed?
Yes.
Are we good? Amen. Any questions? All right. Well, I love you. I'll close with a word of prayer. All right. Heavenly Father God, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we thank you. You are awesome, Dad. And we thank you that it's grace, Dad. It is not fair. And if we want to keep working for what's fair, Father, I mean, that, you'll allow us to do that. Father, we just thank you so much that when the world says the world is not fair because of bad things happening, you say that you're not fair because of all the good things you do to us and for us. So, Dad, we just thank you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for the renewing of the mind and the renewing of the disposition of our hearts to the truth that you have put down in your word. Father, you want your kids to be successful, prosperous people, not in a self-indulgent, prideful way, but to show the mark and to exhibit the greatness of your kindness on the ages to come. And so, Father, we just thank you for that goodness, for that greatness that you have, and we pray in Jesus Christ's name, amen.